Did I ever tell you the one about the English Camel Corps? Did I?
Mm-mm.
They're trapped in the desert, in the Sahara Desert. They've been surrounded by Rommel for 40 days, and they've run out of food. And the captain comes and makes an announcement to the men. And he says, "Men, I have some good news for you and some bad news for you." And one of the men says...
Oh, wait, you have told me this one.
Oh. Can I tell it to you again?
Oh, my God, my God! Oh, my God! Lock the door! Lock the door!
They're coming! They're coming! Help! Help! They're coming! They're coming! Listen to me!
No,
listen! Help me! You're next, please! Please! You're next! We're in danger! Please, listen to me! Something terrible! Please! You're next! Here they are! They're already here! Help! You're next! They're coming! They're coming!
I must have done something.
Now to the people at home or in the crowd, it keeps coming up anyhow. Don't decoy, avoid, or make void the topic,
cause that ain't gonna stop it.
Now just talk about sex on the radio and video shows.
Many will know
anything goes. Let's tell it like it is and how it could be.
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
You guess? You're not sure?
I guess.
Anyways.
Why are we here?
We are here.
We shouldn't ask existential questions. It will end well.
We're here because we're taking a vacation, right? We're at the beach.
No, I live in Jamaica. I don't have to take a vacation. Every house in Jamaica is technically a beach house.
Got sand in my boots. That reminds me, I haven't listened to that Dido album in years. Why, Damian? Why?
Sand in my shoes.
I don't know that song. I don't know Dido. I only know the one Dido song.
It's kind of upsetting to me.
Featuring Eminem.
To go to a concert with an open note that I didn't really like going in. Hear him play. Love what he played, then come back to go and listen to the album and remember I didn't like those albums.
Which one was this? Was this opener?
Blood Orange.
Oh, fuck Blood Orange.
I like Blood Orange.
He's the worst.
I like it. Isn't it two people?
I don't know.
It's two people, right, Andrew?
It's a band.
I thought it was one person. I don't care. They're just... the band personified is the worst.
But them live was awesome. Just wanted to throw that there. Didn't like their albums.
The only good thing about the band is that is the implication that someone... that the band is an orange and somebody stabbed it. It's the only good thing about that band.
So anyways, this week, we are here to finally come together to talk about the latest Jordan Peele film.
I like it.
Maybe I should. Which album is that?
That's Blood Orange.
Freetown Sound.
Okay, I'll listen to that one because I was listening to Negro Swan. Didn't like that.
Yeah, that one isn't as good.
All right, I'll give that a try.
It's pretty good.
But anyways, we're here to talk about finally Jordan Peele's latest effort, his science fiction, horror, mystery, whatever movie you want to call it, Us, or what I like to call it, his second run at being preparing himself for the Twilight Zone. Have any of us watched his Twilight Zone?
I've seen the first episode, but that's it.
Good, bad, in between?
It was a Twilight Zone episode.
Okay.
I saw two episodes. I'm not watching anymore.
I still haven't watched any.
At least Douglas doesn't know how he feels.
Yeah.
I'm two episodes in. I am well aware how I feel. I think it's bad. I think that show is bad.
Well, here in this film, Us, It's about a family who are going to the beach, going to the beach for the weekend. And while they are there at their beach home, they are attacked by another family who invades their home, and it slowly becomes apparent that the family is them. It is this weird, twisted version of themselves that has come to attack them. And these people have arisen to attack the world all in their red jumpsuits and difficult speaking skills.
That's a classic right there.
What does "I got five" on it mean?
It's about drugs.
It's not about drugs. It's a dope song. Don't do drugs.
Get in rhythm. There you go.
Can't believe how big they've gotten.
I don't know how much we're going to kind of give away with this movie, but it's also been like 5 months since it came out. So,
exactly, so
know,
everybody should know that there are seals.
Right, yeah, same sort of thing. So I don't know if I'm going to fully say spoilers at this point, but be wary because we are those types of people.
Just don't give a what?
Damien.
Yes.
I think you were probably the most, the most surprised.
That's a racist.
I was waiting.
I should have done that, shouldn't
Damien, I? Damien, why don't you start? It's like every time I listen to the NPR podcasts, the one where they put out every Friday and it's all the new music, and every time they have a rap song, they're like, "And with us is the one black guy that works for us."
Because we don't want to do this.
Yes, Damien, I think when Get Out came out, I feel like you were the most surprised of all of us at the end result of how we felt about it. Right? And Jordan Peele went from being this guy doing a Dave Chappelle knockoff show to someone we immediately just wrote on the wall and said he's added to the list.
Yes.
Right? Here's his follow-up film. Does it beat Get Out? Does it come to par? Or is it just not as good?
It is not as surprising as Get Out because, look, if someone said the two dudes from the OK Chappelle knockoff are making movies, you were right to be skeptical. The only thing they had done up to that point was Keanu. And Keanu is, to put lightly, not a real movie.
Oh, I love that
movie.
It is
fantastic. But call it a movie strong. Keanu is a sketch that they draw out over 90 minutes. It's not really a movie. It's real dumb. And so I'm not a big fan of the horror genre. So when you guys came out and was like, "Damien, watch this," I was like, "No." And even when the whole internet was, "Watch it," I thought that kind of like another Chinese movie that we saw earlier this year. I thought this movie only blew up because of its import. I thought, oh, it's black people in a horror movie. They don't make a lot of these. So that's probably why people are falling over themselves, crowning this an achievement. And then I finally watched it and saw that while there is some of that, please believe there is some of that, the movie actually held up on its own and was really surprising and really well done. This, I think, is a better movie, but it's not as surprising as the first one. Us has less stupid jokes in Us. There's like one character in Get Out that is just played for laughs. The best friend character. Every time he's on the screen, it's just jokes. In this movie, there wasn't any of that. There was one instance with a boat And on the side of the boat, it is written, Crawdaddy. And I would like a boat that says Crawdaddy. I'm not going to lie, I was very jealous of the Crawdaddy boat. But outside of that, there's not... Like, he's playing this movie. He's not trying to get any, like, quick laughs in this movie. He knows what he's making. He's confident in what he's making. And the movie's really good. The premise isn't anything that wildly original, but the execution, it really feels original. The movie surrounds this family that goes on vacation to a cabin, and like a lot of horror movies, they go and then bad shit happens because you should, apparently in America, you shouldn't take vacations in cabins. I guess that's just the rule. And you'll see all of this in the trailer. They realize that there's a family there that is them. But that family has no chill and is trying to murder them. And the movie takes off from there. The only part of this movie that doesn't really hold up for me is them explaining where this family comes from. I, if it were up to me, I'd have left that part out. Because I don't need an explanation. The movie's weird, and it knows it's weird, and it's comfortable it's weird. And the first time the family meets in the living room, they give, like, a shitty explanation. They're just like, when you eat real food, but I'm a shadow, and so when the shadow eats... And that made no sense, but it gave you just enough to... allow you to continue with this movie. And I'd have been comfortable if they just left it at that. If they never actually tried to explain it. And I feel that, like, I don't think that that part of the movie felt as confident as the rest of the movie. But I've only seen this movie once. But with movies like this, if you're... And we've spoken about this many times. If you're on board with a movie, if you like it from the beginning and you like it in the middle, even if the end isn't as strong, because you are already on board, it is easier for you to just hand wave away things you don't like. Like, a movie ending has to be real bad for you to turn completely on a movie. It has happened, but most of the time, you're just like, all right. Movie adequately creepy. It was well paced. Like this, you know, a movie is good when a 2-hour movie doesn't feel like a 2-hour movie. The first time I looked up to see how much time had passed into the movie, I thought, oh, they finally finished setting up what this movie is about and who these creeps are. So I guess I have another hour or so to go, and I was right. Except I didn't realize this movie was 2 hours. So 1 hour of the movie had passed and it just felt like it flew by. And then the second half felt was the same way. Like things keep happening and you're just brought along the entire time. And the thing that is most impressive, far and away the most impressive part of this movie, is the acting by everybody. Because they have to play themselves and then play a basically feral version of themselves, but don't make it outlandish enough that it doesn't feel like them. So it was this weird juxtaposition that you got to see on screen. And watching, I mean, it's been years and years that people have used that camera thing where you have the same person act opposite each other, so that's not, you know, new or fascinating, but because you're watching the two versions of all these characters do things and be creepy and act weird, but also similar enough to themselves that you're just like, boy, this is so, like, the movie is off-putting and it knows it. It is the right kind of creepy. And I'm just always impressed by his ability to get that done. Because that's the same thing he did with Get Out, where it felt creepy the entire time. And you kept watching it and it didn't, like, the creepiness didn't leave. Everything felt off all the time. And then the movie was, in my opinion, let down in the final part, but it didn't matter.
So you're going around and around and around, mm-hmm, to just say you don't like this movie.
Oh no, I've already said I like this movie. I think it's better than Get Out. I think it's a better movie than Get Out.
No,
it's,
I know,
not as surprising as Get Out.
I know you say that, but what you mean, uh-huh, deep down, right, is for
that
this movie,
I like this movie, right, better than
you,
Get Out.
You,
yes,
don't like this movie at all, do you?
I really like this movie.
Oh really?
I hate both the Jordan Peele and Andrew Robinson for getting me to like these type of movies.
Ah. I was steadfast
on my path to hating all horror movies.
Ah.
It was an easy life. I could just see them and go, that is trash, and then move on.
So,
but they keep making good ones and I don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Stop talking, because I know. You're telling me you don't like this movie.
Okay. Sorry, Douglas. Yes, yeah. Douglas, I don't like this movie.
Yeah, because Damien, this movie is not good.
You're wrong.
Well, but you see, you're wrong, the thing about this movie is, it's one of those movies that aren't good that you hate because, yeah, the movie isn't good,
mm-hmm,
but it's technically perfect, right? You know, everybody's going to love it, no matter what.
Oh.
And you can't even point to technical deficiencies, because guess what? These people know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right?
But there's something
you know
that is not good about it.
Yep.
A few coincidences happen that you just doesn't make you feel right. And down in your bones, you feel like this just isn't working for you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Something is off.
So let's start with the things that I liked.
Mm-hmm. And all of it. The
music. Boy, I don't know if there are many.
Acting, the direction.
Yes, the list is checked, right?
Look, it took me until the end of the movie, the first time I saw this, to realize, holy shit, that's Tim Heidecker. No one knows. The other husband, the white husband.
Yeah, the other husband. I don't know who Tim Heidecker is, though.
Oh, yeah.
Who is Tim Heidecker?
Oh, boy. Sorry.
Just tell me the other things. I obviously don't know the man's name.
No, moving on. What do you like
about the movie? Nope.
Thank you, Andrew.
No.
I like this movie a little bit more now.
No. So we're going to wait for Douglas to...
You remember Tim and Eric stuff, Douglas?
Oh, okay. So there's a reason why I wouldn't know him. I only know the name. And I think I've seen about 5 seconds of one of their movies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unless he's in something else that I would have seen.
The only other thing that I've seen him in specifically was the comedy, mm-hmm, which I had a hard time getting through, but I have come to recognize Tim Heidecker's ability, especially whenever I saw him and heard him through Comedy Bang Bang, right? He's one of those character comedy people who has his crazy thing, right? And if you're not for it, you're not for it, right?
Yeah.
But... he knows how to be characters, right? And this movie, he shows that once again.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Well, fuck Tim Heidecker.
Fair enough. Like this movie.
Like this movie, yes. So yeah. Let's start with the things I liked.
Yes.
I did enjoy the beginning of this movie. So right after they did the whole action movie / James Bond movie thing where they're like, I'm going to show one big piece of it. And then fade into the intro. I like that intro where essentially, it's just a close up of a rabbit. And it pulls out and it's this, you know, classic scary movie music where essentially, and I was chuckling to myself while I was watching it. Because all it was saying was, my name is Jordan Peele. And yes, I can do this kind of stuff too.
Yeah.
And that was just stupid. I enjoyed the fun
confidence
ness of that. The second thing is And I hope that once I say this, you guys will know exactly what I'm talking about. The deep voice.
Oh, one of my favorite parts of this movie.
When M'Baku goes out to defend his family, and slowly but surely you hear him. First of all, he starts talking
real gangster,
a little more gangster, and he starts getting lower and lower and more. Yeah. You know, it's oh boy, his deep voice trying to get rid of those people.
That life.
Yep. As if he hadn't come out before saying, hey guys, what's going on?
Should have just walked out there. You don't want none of this smoke, son?
Excuse me? Oh, no, I have to move on to the rest of the movie.
Mm-hmm. There's a second deep voice that I'm pretty sure you enjoyed. There's the deep voice coming out of that woman. That is the creepiest.
You're talking about when Shadow Lady speaking? Yeah, sure, that was
that
great.
That is some of the creepiest shit I've heard in a good long time.
Mm-hmm. So, here's the thing about this movie. And I'll start with the more general thing first, right? So, I feel like this movie created a really good, scenario. A really interesting world. That is not a rap song, Damien.
check it.
So it created a situation that they could have lived in. And while I was watching this movie, the whole way through, I'm like, I know this is a good movie, right? Mm-hmm. On the face of it, it is. You know, all of the things are checked and the people are acting goodly and there is, you know, action. It's not like I felt like it was a long movie. It's not like it wasn't engaging me. There were all of those things that got put together. But the whole way through, I was like, boy, I don't know if I really like this movie that much. And then I started to compare it with Get Out. And I was wondering, is there something, what did he do good then that he didn't do good now? And I feel like in this movie, there were a couple of things. One, for some reason, and this might just be, I don't know, the first watching issues. I didn't really feel like I was behind these people. I didn't feel like I was rooting for them.
You mean for the shadows, right? We're talking about we're rooting for shadows,
of course we're
right?
talking about the shadows.
Okay, cool.
Asshole.
Just making sure.
Yeah. So you have this family who gets essentially, let's say, kidnapped or whatever and is about to be killed. And I didn't care if they got killed or not.
You weren't invested.
I wasn't invested. I didn't say, oh, I really like the boy who plays with fire or I really love this. Oh, another point that I really did like was the mother told her daughter to run away from the people. And it wasn't until that point until she started to run, and the way she was running, I was like, oh, they set up that she's a runner. Because she didn't run like, oh my God, I'm so scared.
She was cooking.
She ran like, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And let's remember your form.
Right.
You know? Don't exert yourself too much or you will stop very quickly. Right. Like, it was ridiculous.
Each person as to having their own thing, which is why the boy went out and played tricks with the other boy, right? And why that's why everything was set up before in that first half an hour.
It wasn't really though, right? Because the setup for her, right? It wasn't even like some big setup. It was the father turned around in the car and said, why are you not running anymore? Oh, yeah. I don't like it. Okay, cool.
No, they have a whole other conversation in between that. And the shadows showing up where they're talking about her being a track star and how she can run on her billions of money and all of that stuff. Like, they went into it. Right.
No, but again, that conversation was like 2 sentences long. Like, yo, I don't want to pay for college. Well, guess what? You have to pay for college. All right, cool. That was essentially what it was. Maybe I'm summarizing, I'm being a bit extreme, but it wasn't a huge thing that, and by the way, that shouldn't be a payoff. That is the stupidest thing to be a setup in the world. He shouldn't have set it up.
Girl
it's just, to me, I did, it was kind of dumb, right? A dumb thing that movies do that I decided he was making fun of. And that's fine.
I thought it was not necessarily something to make her look like, oh, she's a runner when you get that point. I think it's more to kind of make you understand why they made her run as opposed to the son, right? Because they know the two girls are the runners because they're shadows of each other, whatever you want to call it. Right.
I get you, but then if I go down that road, I'm gonna hate this movie even more. So that's so I'm not going to go down that road. So yeah, that was one of the big things. I didn't really feel invested in all of these people. I didn't, not that I didn't care. I mean, it was obvious that they were the first family we met were supposed to be the good guys. The second family we met, the shadows, as you call them, were supposed to be the bad guys. I knew that whole dynamic and was comfortable watching it play out. But again, I didn't, you know, all of the tension that they were clearly setting up, I just didn't feel it, right? And the other thing, the bigger thing for me, I felt, was that, and Damien talks about the explanation that they gave, and I agree, it's kind of a half-assed explanation. But I'm comfortable in movies like this saying, don't worry about explanations, let's be in the situation. And the situation that he put himself in, which is which has to do with this shadow thing, was a pretty cool situation, especially because it extends a little bit broader than you think it would.
Right.
And I think there's a lot that you could play around in that kind of a scenario. And they just didn't, right? It really just turned out to be... This movie did not need that explanation. It did not need the broader implications. Mm-hmm. This movie was just... a family who is being threatened by a group of people trying to run away from it and having to murder some fools.
I know what you wanted.
And there's nothing wrong with that, you know.
But that's not what you wanted.
No, it's not even that I wanted anything because I really didn't know what this movie was about.
No, but once it became clear what the movie was about, you thought of that V word.
Potentially, right? I'm not even going there.
Right.
I'm just saying that there are other ways that this velociraptor could have been skinned.
Right. They could have just gone, this family is velociraptors.
But we what about the warriors?
Let's get it. But they spent... What I like is that they spent just enough time showing the wider implication. Because when you thought it was just... Because initially
that's what really... Exactly. That's what really got me, right? When they set up the wider implications, I'm like, oh really?
Oh, this is bad.
And then it just didn't matter.
And so once they establish that there... Because there's a primary threat.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see that there's a larger, even more devastating threat. But it goes nowhere.
Exactly.
And the explanation behind the threat is weak. But what I did enjoy, and it's similar to the movie The Invitation that we saw.
Another movie I didn't like.
Fair enough. I'm pretty sure Andrew liked that movie, right?
Yep.
So initially you see this thing happening, and you're just like, these people have lost their minds. This is so dumb. Don't do this. And then by the time with the invitation, it's when the movie ends, you realize, oh, this is not a local issue. This is a mass issue.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh.
And that's fine, right? And
I'd have preferred
That's how this movie should have played out.
I'd have preferred
I did like how they found out. I like that. That's the thing about this movie, right? Technically, Jordan Peele is obviously a very good story writer. I don't know about story, but he's very good with situations.
Coming up with these fantastical scenarios.
Yeah. He's obviously a pretty decent director. Mm-hmm. And he knows how to cut something together to make any singular part of this movie be, whether it's fun or interesting or cool, whatever it is, right? So we can point to a lot of specific things that I like about this movie and specific moments that I like about this movie. But as I said, when you put it all together, like, there are things that he has this world that he just throws away. And the last thing is, and I'm going to be very careful about what I say about this, because it is teetering on spoiler territory, but there is a twist in this movie. This is very, this is very Shyamalan-esque, right? Yes. And there is a setup to that twist somewhere else in the movie. Mm-hmm. And from, the problem I had with it was from, I saw that setup. It's one of those setups where, is it that most people don't see it? I don't know. You guys out there, the two of you listening, right? Ryan and friend. Yeah. Email us, call us in on the hotline. Yes. Did you see this twist happening? And because guess what?
By us, I mean Andrew.
I did. And that annoyed the shit out of me. Because essentially, right? Something could happen. Mm-hmm. And I said, it wasn't even that I necessarily said this definitely happened. I said, you know what? That would be the dumb thing to do. And then he fucking did it.
This is the one instance, though, where the handling of it is mm-hmm. bad.
Yes.
But I still enjoy the actual twist.
But, I mean, it doesn't...
Listen.
Forget explanations.
The explanation right? is bad.
Yes.
Right? That is where the movie's let down towards the end. But the reason I like the actual twist is because of the actual... unlike with I See Dead People.
By the way, I want to...
The twist is in for there to be a twist. Yeah.
So...
In this one, there are wider implications.
Think
about
Hold on, hold on. Before we move mm-hmm. on, hear what we do, right?
Yes.
Let's end my little segment here right. by saying I would like to like this movie. Mm-hmm. Definitely a lot more than I do, because right now I'm teetering between sure it was technically good and boy, I can't get past some of these issues that I yes. have, right? So I'm somewhere in the middle there. So right now, I guess if you average it, it's fine. It's okay.
I don't think you know what average
is. But I do want us to air out some of these things a little bit more in detail.
Yes.
So let's have Andrew talk a little bit mm-hmm. for a little while, and then we can go into proper spoilers. So Andrew, what do you have to say about this movie? I figure you're on the more positive side of things.
I'm in the middle of you two, all right? Because I agree that this movie does a fuck ton really well. And I feel like my problems are the same problems Damien has, but he has a better time of waving them away and enjoying the rest in that explanation of it all. And it's upsetting to me, because when you get to that final explanation scene, right, there's so much of it where I just don't want it, where I feel like I had enough already. I had enough to keep going, and we keep going with this scenario of, you know, the families kind of fighting each other, and this world where there's this bigger, as you guys keep talking about, this bigger implication as to what's going on with this occurrence happening in the world. And it just works as this science fiction film. Right? I think of this more as a science fiction than a horror film at that point, because of the explanations. But it just seems ridiculous, right? And it's not even ridiculous, kind of like when you first meet the shadows and they have that speech where she talks, as Damien has already mentioned, talks about eating the rabbit and the presence of that are sharp and uncomfortable, and having her child ripped out of her and whatever. Like, those are frightening images that kind of cue you into who these people are coming at you. But at the same time, they remain too frightening for you to kind of try to logic away things. You're in the moment at that point. When we have the second explanation, it's very much like a like a maniacal, like bad guy monologuing off his plans, right? And it just feels kind of dumb and upsetting to me because
speaking
I think
which,
about it too
this
much.
This movie does have the best monologuing ever. I'll give it that. Lupita, done good.
She's brilliant in this movie.
She's doing real work.
like with both of the characters, and I mean, I feel most of the actors did really well with it. I mean, some got a lot more than others, right? Mm-hmm. In that regard, Tim Heidecker, oh, you did some work. I really love, as you guys will never stop calling him, M'Baku.
M'Baku.
He plays probably the best corny father I've seen this year.
Can Douglas be in the next Black Panther?
like Douglas, you complain that you're not on board with these people. I'm on board with them just because I want him to live. Because he's the best corny
he's
father.
No, yeah, you're right. That's true. I should give him a little bit of credit because that scene with the boat is
craw daddy.
And I don't know about you guys, but I couldn't stop laughing when the shadow took the bat from him and hit him through the door.
Yep. Tremendous.
Right, like everything about his performance, to the physical reaction, to even the way he plays his own shadow with like his facial expressions and what's going on, it's amazing. The other part that I feel...
You realize his shadow is just M'Baku.
No, because he doesn't bark. He has a seal has noise a as opposed to a dog.
He doesn't have that much of a beard for M'Baku, but whatever. The one other thing that I'd complain about, because we'll talk about the explanation more, I feel...
is it that this movie is just a feeder into Black Panther 2? Is that what?
Probably. Like, we just pull everybody. Elizabeth Moss, you get to have the Tolkien rule next time. the one thing that kind of got me, and I feel this was more on like my second viewing than on the first, is that some of the velociraptoring, because I think that's going to be our official term for it when people just die off in the movie, when we get them off one by one. Some of it, just not as fun, not as enjoyable, not as good. Like, when the sun dies, meh. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, it was just whatever. When Heidecker dies.
Oh, okay. When you said the sun, you're talking about the shadow sun.
Yeah, well,
okay.
The real one doesn't die. Yeah.
Because I was confused. I was like, which son dies? Mm-hmm. But okay, yeah.
When the Heidecker shadow dies, meh. Right? And I felt like once you got past like the first hour, which really was the corny family setup and then the shadow setup, and then you get to the second half of this movie, like, it's the second half for me was very uneven. Like, it was highs and lows. And it just kind of felt off in that regard. The first hour of this movie is pretty much perfection, I feel. Like, everything to do with that initial... The starting scene with her as a child and everything... Mm-hmm. All of the weirdness that came from that. I remember...
Was there weirdness, though?
There were small things, and there were small things going on. So, like, obviously, like, you see the guy with the 11-11 and all of... All they set up this concept of all of the coincidences needing to happen, right? In order for what eventually happens in the end of this movie. So, like, even when you get to that first half an hour where Lupita is there and frightened because she's seen coincidences, she's seen things as simple as the frisbee landing perfectly on the circle on the towel. And that's the thing that scares her. She sees all of these coincidences happening and she's like, oh no, something bad is going to happen. And if you watch that opening scene again with her as a child, like leading up to her being in the mirrors, there are a crap ton of coincidences that are going on in order to eventually get her to the mirrors. Right? And you kind of realize what everything is signaling. And I mean, we've seen Jordan Peele do this already with Get Out, so he's very good at creating these things that aren't noticeable the first time you watch them. They're there for you to see them on the second and the third time when you're like, oh, so he set all of these things in motion and it makes sense, right? And it's upsetting to me how those things are there so perfectly, but then we have something as simple as this dialogue explanation of what's going on in this movie, and it just doesn't make it. It just makes things seem worse than they are better. But at the end of the day, this movie is above and beyond what you can expect from anything in this genre for the most part. Wow. And it's
really, I thought you were pro horror.
No, I am, but as it relates to like the when it comes to like the world building stuff, like horror movies are fun when they are like what I like to call pseudo action movies. Right.
Yes. Right. Like not the guest, sorry. The other one. What's the other one that he did? The one with the survivalist,
You're Next.
The host is Next.
Where they understand that their job is to put you in these high risk scenarios and to just keep the tension heightened, right? And if they keep that rolling for 90 minutes, you're happy. Right? But this sort of a film, which kind of tries to be a little bit more psychological for a lot of it.
Did it though? And that's the thing that annoyed me about this movie, is it thought it was a psychological movie, but it really was, or was really that action movie, but didn't have enough action and wasn't smart enough to be the psychology movie. You see what I'm saying? That's what it felt like to me.
And I think where it is it falls apart in that second half, in that it just doesn't keep the balance, right? Yeah. But I still, and there's still, as you've mentioned, Douglas, there's still so many individual pieces that I know I love regardless.
Yeah.
That I'm not going to hand wave this movie out of the good list of 2019.
Excuse me. Do you hear that? You hear that on the microphone? That air, that rush of air is me hand waving this movie away.
But yeah, this was a bona fide interesting film, if nothing else.
Can we put that on the box? Bona fide interesting.
All right, so there are a few things I want to talk about like the ending of this movie.
Okay,
right.
Great.
So, if you're still listening and you care, we're going to spoil some things.
Spoilers.
So, the first time I watched this movie, and you discover that they switched each other.
Yep, at the beginning, I knew they did.
Because of course, Douglas, you're the bestest.
No, it's not that. It's, as I said,
I've seen enough
if
movies.
He fucking does this dumb thing that he could easily do, I'm going to murder somebody. And also, it's not even just that they did it. Fine, do it. But if you do it, you know, you have to make it count, right? And it did not count in the end. And we can talk about that as well.
I think it did count.
It did count.
All right, you say your piece, sir.
Okay. Like, I mean, it's sincerely, this film is sincerely where the two of them swapped. You realize that the revolution that is happening outside of all of these shadow people isn't because anything other than the girl is upset and wants revenge. It's a revenge movie now at this point.
Pretty much.
And the other one,
and she got kidnapped in 1986 when they did Hands Across America, so that's why she did Hands Across America. Yep.
That
joke I was fine with.
Yeah.
That I'm super fine with.
No, you're getting around to why me and the end of this movie. Like the explanation. But the actual twist and everything else.
Oh,
but
very
Andrew, let's finish what you were saying.
The one thing I was really thinking about when it came to the end of this movie, and when I talk about the end, I mean the actual battle between Lupita versus Lupita, right?
Yeah.
There is a point where she finally finishes the fight, and she has this reaction that feels so feral, right? Where for the first time, you kind of start to see the attributes that we've been frightened of in the shadow in her, And I legit thought, because they mentioned it at some point throughout the shitty explanation that sounded like crap.
Two souls.
I literally thought at first that he was trying to kind of cue you into the fact that maybe this is like the two parts of the body kind of going into one now that one has died. Mm-hmm. And that upset me so much. Mm-hmm. And it was just a reaction I had to what happened in the scene.
Right.
And I realized that was me putting that there, because we already see like 20 other people murdered in this movie and you don't see that reaction to it. Right? So it's obviously not that's the thing. It's just her kind of reacting. And I mean, the thing in it is a good acting bit. Right? Mm-hmm. But it was just a thing I thought of at the time and it was upsetting. Mm-hmm. But now I'm past it. But but yeah, the explanation of them having this underworld with copies of the people and they're physically doing the same thing as the people upstairs kind of goes in it's there just to explain away the coincidence bit for me, right?
Right.
Where they need coincidences to happen in order for things to line up so that the two of them can end up outside of the underworld, right? Mm-hmm. So that the bodies can swap. Right, in the opening scene. And I like it for just making us understand why the coincidences was important. And also making us understand why she was frightened as an adult coming back to the beach. She's like, look, I don't need that bitch coming back after me. I got out once. Yeah. She can figure it out.
Yeah, so you got it. You took it to be the coincidences, and maybe that's what he meant it to be. But what was interesting to me, right? And which is why I was like, okay, let me think about going down this rabbit hole. Was you remember when she explains? So even before we get to, oh my goodness, there is a family about to murder us. I think she explains at some point what happened that night. Mm-hmm. And if you watch the beginning, there's this like almost glazed look over her face as she's walking towards the mirror room. And she even just drops her candy almost as if she's in a trance before she walks in. And she explains that, boy, I didn't know what came over me. I just walked down there and we're in this room and whatever, and tie that back, right? Remember that when the shadow now comes and talks about how, you know, there was a point when they realized that shadow was special. Now, given the end of the movie, you can also explain away her being special because she was actually the original, right? Mm-hmm. And not the shadow. But at the time when she said that, I took it to mean that like she was special and she was almost like, cause it looked like she was the queen of the shadows, right? Mm-hmm. The shadow queen. and
it's Scorpion. Shadow law.
The Scorpion King.
And so, no, that was M'Baku.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. And I thought that what they were almost implying was that she, the shadow, for a moment, mustered up the energy or the willpower or the magic power, whatever it is, in order to almost be the primary, to actually force the original Lupita to walk towards her and to come into the mirror room, which I thought would actually have been a little more interesting a situation. And then, especially when now they have to fight in the end, there are these two people with some sort of power over each other that could have some sort of implication on either how they fight or something, you know? So that I thought that could have been interesting. And actually, maybe you can argue that that's still a valid point of view, even with the end. So I don't know. But I feel like I'm arguing myself into a positive for this movie. I don't like this. I don't like this. But
is the hand no longer waving?
No, the hand is still waving. I do want to watch this movie again though, but because it's so technically good, but
Jordan knows how to do the thing.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, at the beginning of this movie, you start off and this movie puts them together and it stops right there. It doesn't show you exactly what happens. And so you said to yourself, you know, a lesser man would just switch them right here. And that's exactly what he did. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to the ending, it annoys me because let's back up from the exact ending. Thank you, Damian, for those sound effects. If you go to when Lupita beats Lupita, right? And she kills her. By the way, I didn't see that feral reaction. I kind of want to see if I'll see it this time. I just thought, she won. Yay. Then she finds her son. And the son has a distinctly bad reaction to her finding him. With the implication being that the information has been passed to him that this woman is not real, or I don't know how you want to say it, right? But that she is from the dark side. Yeah. And I thought that was a poor use of this switcheroo, because on top of everything else, sure, maybe there could be some ethical, moral questions that could be asked of, you know, why would this shadow thing take over the other person's life or whatever? And even in the end, there's kind of this sinister look on her face. And it almost looks like she's like, oh, I'm going to have fun calming you down, young man, kind of situation, because there's an interplay between her and the son in the car. But she's still his mother. She didn't kidnap his mother. She did something bad and then bore her a son. So, the only thing, like, I don't get the significance. That is not how I would use this.
Except it works perfectly.
Why?
Because he knows.
Yes.
That she is technically supposed to be the bad one.
Yes.
But he's also a child.
Yes.
And knows that it's his mother.
Yes.
So she's happy because she has no gotten away with it.
Obviously.
She was freaked out the entire time.
Yeah, man, because she was like, ooh, something's
but
gonna
no,
happen.
Yeah. She has won.
Yes.
But he knows that there's the reason all of this happened is tied to the fact that she is supposed to be them.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also aware that that is his mother.
Mm-hmm.
What do you... He's what, 10? What do you do with that information?
Yeah. And so, I'm not saying that there shouldn't be some sort of reaction like
that.
But
I like that,
to
I like
use that information right there. And you see, the thing about it is, to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would be really cool, what would be a nice little story part of this movie, is to step forward from that.
No.
Right?
Imagine if they didn't explain away the part where they're like people used to control the people above. What if they just skip that part? The actual explanation of how they came there.
Sure.
Imagine if she just went there to save her son. There's no backstory part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you found out that there's a switch. Because the part that is the only part of this movie that annoys me is the part where
the
explanation is dumb. It's a dumb explanation.
It is a dumb explanation.
But all of the implications after that, I actually enjoy. Because it means that she and by extension, all of the people who are out here murdering aren't inherently bad people. They're only this way because they're bred to be this way.
No shit.
Right. But when this movie starts, when they first enter the picture, they're just
you assume they're just the bad guys. Yeah.
But the fact that one of them came over and then lived a normal life mm-hmm. and became a loving mother and whatever, it only goes to reinforce the fact that you shouldn't be, like, it causes you to question who in this entire movie is worth cheering for.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the actual bad people?
Yeah.
There's one set that are doing a lot of murdering.
So what you're saying is this movie is nature versus nurture?
This movie is you shouldn't be cheering for anybody.
Yeah.
And that is part of the thing that I enjoy about the movie. There, any team that you choose at the start of this movie is the wrong side. That is why I enjoy...
No. You're completely wrong. I have chosen correctly by choosing corny father M'Baku.
Right. But what if M'Baku himself, right? What if Seal M'Baku was given the opportunity to just be a regular person? Maybe he'd have been twice as corny. But you don't know, because he wasn't given the chance.
I refuse to accept your logic.
And so, why they were built is so dumb. That is how I know I really like this movie. Mm-hmm. Because I am literally hand-waving that part away. It's like, I'm not going to allow this part of the movie to make me not like the rest of this movie. And every other part of the like that ending where she is like, I did it. But her son realizes, oh, while my mother is my mother, she's also a monster. but there were actual monsters trying to kill everybody. So what do we do now? And I enjoyed that. I really, really enjoyed watching him tell this story where there could have been a good side and a bad side. And he decided, what if no matter what you did, you are wrong? And I enjoy that. And that's what that is the movie he
yeah,
made.
But Damien, the thing about this movie is that it stops right before...
You wanted another payoff.
No.
Then go to M.
What I wanted was a woman with her foot cut off and a machine gun instead. Like, that's what this movie would have turned into. Just stay on the coast.
Never miss.
Keep the water between you and the zombies.
You must remember, Peel is not Korean. There's a movie that you want, but that's not the movie that I made.
Because there's... And as I said, the thing... Probably the most upsetting thing might not be the twist thing. It probably is the fact that they have created this world where it's akin to a zombie apocalypse, right? Where people are killing people, where you are now going to have to decide. Because let's just say that we have been given... a way to believe that these shadows can convert from seal people to talking people, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to live in a world where anybody you meet, and if we just take the absolute that the shadow people are the bad people, mm-hmm. right? You have to try and figure out, are you the real person or are you the shadow person? Are you somebody I can trust or are you somebody I can distrust? And
this is a dead giveaway.
Yeah, but again, I would assume that they know, all right, put down the scissors and pick up a gun, right? And if you have a gun...
They don't know gun.
They don't know, all right?
Not yet.
But so that kind of a world where you have to kind of run around and be like, all right, I'm going to form a group of people that I need to, I'm not sure if they're spies, so to speak. That kind of shit. That's, and I know I'm kind of now getting very dangerously close to Walking Dead.
Uh-huh.
But if you create that world, you cannot use it.
You know, you can. Listen, end this movie here.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give me an explanation. And end the movie. The movie ended where it's supposed to end. right? They're like, we have to get out of here. That is it. I don't want any. I don't want, listen.
But they could have needed to get out of there if it was still only that family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
and that's
but what is awesome is that it is not only that family. That is the part I was so you're watching this.
I did like that, and then the entire time
you're just like, oh, it's just this girl. Like, what the hell is causing this? But I would have loved a movie where the entire time I'm just like, where the fuck are these people coming from?
Mm-hmm.
What is causing
this?
But it doesn't matter. Just like with zombie movies, the worst zombie movies tell you what happened.
Mm-hmm.
How the zombies became zombies.
You didn't need, you don't need it.
I don't need that.
And as you said, no one needs that. I feel like the better way to deal with the rest of the world is to take the invitation approach or the Cloverfield approach,
mm-hmm.
Cloverfield Lane approach,
yeah.
Which is at the end of the movie, just be like, oh, by the way.
It's real bad out here.
Yeah.
It's bad in these streets. Yeah. Yeah.
I would have, as much as I enjoy that scene where they watch the news.
Yeah.
I mean, and maybe they could keep that scene and just put it later on
right,
in the movie.
Right, at the very end. Right? It's like, oh, it's real out.
Yeah.
Because they're in a cabin far away from anywhere highly populated. So you're like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, they should have gone into that second house, realized, oh, shit, there's a second family.
Mm-hmm.
Murdered them, sat down and like, oh, boy, I can't believe this shit. And then turn on the news and you see that, no, this is...
And see that's hands where across it ends. America thing. They're just like,
and they're just like, I can't do it. We got to go. But I was really... Because it is one of the few times where a twist in a movie
doesn't
makes
pay
the
off.
Movie,
yeah,
no, makes the movie better. At least for me.
No.
Because the twist is that the feral one became the good one. And the good one after an entire life of being treated shitty became the worst of the worst. Yeah. And led the feral ones to come and try and eat everybody. And you watch that and you're just like, yeah. So no matter what side I choose, everybody is wrong. We're all
to be fair, she bad didn't, out here. She clearly didn't grow up in Korea. She doesn't know how revenge works because for her, revenge involves holding hands.
She was small. Yeah. She was small at the time.
Uh-huh.
And the people around her were also feral. Mm-hmm. So she had to come up with her own version of revenge. If she was, say, in a Korean prison, for all our life, then this movie would have been very different.
Sweet. So leaves this podcast in the positive.
No!
I like it. I mean, you, Douglas.
Douglas knows he likes it deep down inside. He's just
fighting
it.
Once he started arguing against himself, we knew it was over.
So moving along, I have things to talk about.
Ooh.
Yes. Right. So let's get the movies out of the way.
Uh-huh.
Right. I went and I watched the new Godzilla movie.
Gojira!
This movie's trash. Damien can watch it and tell me if he feels differently.
Like trash. There's just too much, isn't there?
But, like, herein lies the thing. So, all of the complaints Douglas had with the first movie, it's worse. and the thing about it is that I love all of those things Douglas hates about the first movie because all of those things are there just to laugh at it for the fact that Godzilla is here. That first movie feels so much like they're making a movie where all they want to remind us is that people are irrelevant. No matter how much the camera stays on them. It's like people are like, I'm going to fix this. And then Godzilla shows up and says, you don't matter in my world.
Right, because I am Gojira.
Right? And sure, there are ways they could have done that would have made Douglas more happy. But I don't want to get into that argument with Douglas right now. But this movie, they made a whole subplot about environmental eco-terrorism with people. And it got super fucking annoying. And I don't care how pretty Mothra and Rodan and all of these people are. But
they told
shit.
A story?
But Andrew Lev knows it.
Douglas, be quiet. don't want to... While I'm talking about Godzilla, Douglas, you're not allowed to talk. You can interrupt me for the rest of them, but not Godzilla.
Okay. Cool.
It was just not very good. And I mean, I know next year we're getting the movie that we really want, which is Zilla versus Kong. So mm-hmm. I still have my fingers crossed in hopes.
They call it that.
And
the Godzilla.
Let's call it Kongzilla.
Right.
And you know what the worst Zilla part about it is that with this movie, Godzilla 2, they basically made sure to hire a lot of comedy-esque actors and kind of punch up to have lots of jokes. So you have people like Thomas Middleditch in this movie ridiculous. Yeah, you have people like Bradley Whitford. And I think it's in the trailer, there's this one cut where someone is talking about Godzilla and like someone is being like he's a god. Yeah. Not even that. Someone is like leading it up where he's like god, and then they cut to Bradley Whitford saying Zilla really ridiculously. Right? And you kind of think to yourself for the trailer, like, oh no, someone saw the movie and like put that together as a fun joke. No, that's exactly how it is in the fucking movie.
Oh, wow. Well done. Well, it's clear then that they did what I asked them to do, but in the wrong way. So essentially, I said, dear Godzilla makers, please learn and take notes from King Kong. And the notes they took were all the wrong ones. Essentially, they were just like, oh, so what you're saying is just make it more funny. That does not help.
No one listens to me, do they?
Meh. Right? Anyways, that was upsetting. Moving along the line into a movie that I don't know how much you guys care about or are interested in. I saw Rocket Man, the Elton John biopic slash musical.
Slash Oscar bait.
The movie is very much a musical in the way that Across the Universe is musical.
if by that do you mean that it's a musical?
No, but I mean like it's the feel of it, right? When I talk about musicals, like I think about a West Side Story. Or like when I talk about Across the Universe, it feels like what I like to call music video filmmaking. Where they're like, okay, we've put on a jukebox song now that we can kind of put the movie to. But it's not like we do this for like twofold. It's like pop music, and also it kind of gives us something to do crazy stuff with the movie. The movie also does a very La La Land thing that Douglas kind of complained about at first, but realized he loved it, which is that it takes them roughly like 2 seconds to start with the music to kind of give people a forewarning to be like, leave now if you're not into this.
Well, all right, to be fair, I will just reiterate that my complaint was on the basis that I did not at the time when I got into that theater know that this movie was a musical.
La La Land?
I didn't know because I didn't really watch any of the trailers. Oh, I just knew the two actors that were in there and said, of course I want to watch this movie.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So Rocket Man isn't a perfect movie. I'm not going to throw it up there. It is not a perfect film. But I kind of love how weird it is. Because it kind of like with Across the Universe.
Not a weird, weird person.
Right. Kind of like with Across the Universe. Like when it gets to a musical piece, it is so ridiculous in every way. Like I think for the first 15 minutes, he's a child. It's a biopic in the sense that like he's telling a story. But at no point do you take the story literally. Like, the movie starts with him going into rehab and being like, all right, cool, how does this shit work? And he just starts telling his story to the people in rehab, and that's just the framework with which we then follow his life. Up until that point at the end of the movie where, like, we roll back to that point, to him being in rehab. And, like, I think the first song you hear is The Bitches Back. And you see Child playing that, singing that song, talking about like the family coming home and stuff. And it plays out ridiculously. Like, it almost doesn't make sense when it happens, because you're wondering how this song plays into like his story of how he felt. But like the music scene you're watching feels like it is out of Hairspray. Right, with John Travolta dancing in drag. And it's insane. But around like 10 minutes in, I kind of found myself getting more and more into the musical pieces in this movie. And I just kind of fell in love with it by the end. The Taron Egerton, the guy from that shooty movie we all liked a while back, Kingsman, he is amazing in this movie. I really like this movie, but I know it's not a perfect movie. It is a messy movie I like.
Boy, Andrew, you're describing a movie that I might actually watch.
Messy! But now for the one that I feel Damien is most interested in. I got around to watching Brightburn.
Oh, okay.
Right? And for those of you who don't know what this movie is, it's about a young child who is basically Superman, who suddenly becomes a teenager, realizes he has superpowers, and becomes the most evil emo thing you could ever imagine, because that's really what a teenager would do if he realized he couldn't be hurt. And terrorizes a town, a small town in Kansas. The movie plays on Superman ridiculously, and this movie is perfect.
Yes! Nice!
Right? The movie does not play...
I'm so glad to hear that.
This movie doesn't play with being the anti-superhero movie of 2019. Right? It knows what it's doing completely. Right? So much so that at the end of this movie, I'm not even going to call it post-credits. It's really pre-credits end of movie scene. You have Michael Rooker playing like a one of these...
Yondu.
Yeah, playing one of these TV, like almost an Alex Jones type, right?
Oh, okay.
With footage of the child doing ridiculous shit and then being like, they're hiding it, right?
It's a conspiracy.
Right. And
government.
This movie is... I didn't believe they could have knocked it out of the park as good as they did, but oh, they did, and... It is a fun horror superhero movie.
Andrew, thank you.
I'm very happy to hear this. Andrew, I have to tell you, I was a little worried.
like, fully crossing my fingers. It's like, please be good, please be good, please be good.
And it's 90 minutes. The new host keep the runtime.
Very good.
Right.
I mean, when it's good, I'll take a longer movie. If it's good, I'll stay here for a while.
I guess the other things I'll mention is so anime wise I finished watching this anime by the name of Promised Neverland, which is about a orphanage, an orphanage, let's call it, with all of these children.
Wait, sorry, is this doesn't have anything to do with Michael Jackson, does it?
No, this has nothing to do with Michael Jackson.
Okay.
No, there's a different documentary that's coming out this year.
It's already come out.
It's on HBO.
Okay. I think it's called Finding Neverland.
Yeah, it is.
Actually, so this anime.
Apparently, Michael Jackson was problematic.
Yep. So, Promised Neverland, the non-Michael Jackson Neverland property of 2019. That's the subtitle. It's actually in the name. They put that up when the HBO documentary came out. It's about this orphanage with all these children, and this as all orphanages have, this one woman is watching over all the children, and one day these children discover that this is really a farm for people. And outside are like demons, and they're just waiting for the children to get to the right age to like farm them for human meat.
Nice.
Right? And the show then continues into the plot of the children trying to plot an escape from their prison. Right?
Into the demon's nest? I don't know if that's a good plan.
They don't know, but you have to try, man. Freedom, right?
You know, like when...
I mean, if I figure that out, I'd just be like, all right, here we go, guys. I know how this ends. Just keep me pampered in the lap of luxury until I die.
You know how when children are like 2-3 years old,
you're
obsessed with going outside
because
you don't let them.
Yeah.
Like they probably think that we're farming them and there's demons out there. Right? Because they don't know. I see it's the same thing here. Right? They get one piece of information, blow it way out of proportion. And now I've just decided. We gotta get out. You only know us, you don't know how transportation work. What is your plan?
So yeah, you know, this anime is one of those animes where it is this very long tale of going through this plot where like the main children we're following are supposed to be super smart. Mm-hmm. So they're like trying to like chess tactics out this mother and figure out how they can get out of their problems and like save all the other children and stuff. And so, all right, Damien asked me the other day about like anime YouTube channels. This is not an anime YouTube channel I'm recommending because it's ridiculous and I really have to stop watching it. This guy by the name of Giguk. He had a video recently where he used a clip of this show and he like overdubbed it to explain away how this kind of show works, where he's like, you think people are smart, and then someone says, you thought I was smart, but I thought you thought I was smart, so I did the other thing. So it kind of becomes a cat and mouse game of people basically doing that scene from why am I forgetting the name of the movie, the one with Inconceivable. Right, the scene when Princess Bride, where he's like doing the poison trick.
Yeah.
Right, where he's trying to logic out which one he should drink. Like, it gets to that point really towards the end of the movie where you're like, oh, someone thought he was smart, then the other person thought he was smarter, and it just kind of circles around in who plotted harder.
Does anyone say Trace Buster at any point?
Nope, there's no Trace Buster. I enjoyed this anime, but at the same time, This is not an anime for Damien, so I'm not recommending this anime to Damien. It is not fun enough for Damien to take it and then complain to me.
Sorry to cut you, Andrew. By should, you mean you don't own Trace Buster?
Hang on a moment.
In any form?
Hang on a moment.
But how though? We've been friends for a while. I'll end this friendship. If you don't want me to talk... Alright, guys, Andrew, I want you to keep this in. Just so that you understand the type of people we are. Douglas Robinson just typed Trace Buster into Amazon. Amazon, of course, has no idea what he's talking about. Which, thank you, that is how I know no one like us works at Amazon. Because if I type Trace Buster into anything, I expect to get the big hit as the answer. How do you not
know this? I'm going to put that into my work application. Just string in place.
Mm-hmm. Just go, Trace Buster? Yeah. And if someone types that in, they're supposed to get a picture of the big hit. It doesn't need to lead anywhere. It doesn't need to make sense. But if you put that in there, that's like, we got you.
So, okay, last thing I'm going to mention, right? I finished watching Barry, the two seasons of Barry that exist.
Is it good? I keep saying I should start back again.
I love this show, right? Bill Hader and Steven Root are amazing. There's also this guy who plays Hank, who is like kind of this ridiculous Chechen by the name of Anthony Carrigan. I don't know where he's from, but he is amazing in this show. But I feel like I'm going to do something which is kind of a disservice, because I feel like this will ruin it if you guys do this. So with TV shows, there's always a standout episode or a few standout episodes that rise above the top. There is an episode in here which is too fucking perfect. Like, you can watch it out of just straight up, and it is a great episode. It is season 2, episode 5. It is Ronnie Lilly. It is where Bill Hader has to go and murder someone. Mm-hmm. And then he discovers he's a Taekwondo Olympic gold medalist.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a feral young girl that appears. And the show, it never ceases. This show is one of those shows where characters just keep going through their motions. Barry is this guy who wants to do this stupid thing and who falls in love with this stupid girl who is a joke in herself, where she's like the actress person of Hollywood who wants to, and she has all the personality traits of this vain human being who needs to be an actor and never gets the credit but thinks she deserves it. But then Fuchs is just ruining his life, trying to force him to do all of these murders. And Stephen Root, who we know from things such as, what was that movie? Buster Scruggs.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to chew scenery and chew it hard. Right. I think for the first half of the first season, he's pretty much like chained down, like he is captured and like talking his way out of being murdered by the Chechens, with more and more ridiculous shit happening. The Bill Hader gets asked to do a job to save his life, and then as he's standing out there, like with sniper in hand, like looking at the guy to pull the trigger and be like, all right, the job is done. He gets a phone call from Hank to be like, can you wait a few hours? Because I sent a bullet to be delivered and I thought it'd be cool. And the show just keeps being ridiculous in all of these ways, where it's not comedy in the way that it makes the characters think it's funny. It's comedy in that the scenario is ridiculous and it's for us to laugh at how ridiculous it is. Right, everyone is heightened and it's in the perfect ways. I love this show. I don't know if you guys have actually watched more than an episode, but yeah.
When it first came out, I think I may have gone 2, maybe 3 episodes in and wasn't a huge fan. And recently I've made the decision that I will try and watch it again, but I haven't yet.
All right. Only thing I'm going to ask you, Douglas, is that if you watch it and you give up after like 3, 4 episodes or whatever, just do me a favor and just skip to that episode, season 2, episode 5, just to watch that episode.
Okay.
Right? Because it is too good.
Yeah. So, it sounds like you're done?
Yeah, I'm done.
I have a few things I want to talk about. Let's get the inevitable out of the way. I've been watching more James Bond. I am now... The last one that I finished was You Only Live Twice, which means I've also watched Thunderball. And in watching Thunderball, it made me remember, because I don't know how I forgot that James Bond does remixes. Because Thunderball is straight up Never Say Never Again. And... As I was watching it, I was like, oh yeah, they do that, because they've done it again with, I think it's Diamonds Are Forever or something like that, and one of the Pierce Brosnan ones. It's crazy how they just reuse all of these movies. I mean, it's one thing to be like, oh, this action movie feels like this other action movie. It's another thing to say, oh wait, the script's the same. And the story is the same. And the character names are the same.
You're saying that they were lazy?
I don't like your tone.
But what it does remind me is that there are some subpar James Bond movies. One of them being Thunderball. But Thunderball is acceptably subpar. The one that really is almost unacceptably bad is You Only Live Twice. Where it was the last Sean Connery Bond before it moved on. And he surgeries himself into being Japanese, which is ridiculous. You remember that?
Yep.
I'm sorry, what was that question?
Oh boy. Oh boy. I mean, I don't even know how to defend that movie.
The 60s?
What I will say is this.
70s.
I am now halfway through His Majesty's Service.
Mm-hmm.
Realized I've never watched this movie before. Never watched the one with the one Australian guy. I've never done that.
I don't know what's happening anymore. Douglas, you're shattering my... So you don't own the big hit and you've missed James Bond movies?
Yeah, apparently.
How?
Apparently.
What's that? Everything I know is a lie.
I don't know what's
Are you one of the shadow people? You can't ask me that, because then that would be racist.
Oh boy. So yeah, it's been interesting, but I'm moving on. I do want to talk about one movie that I watched in particular, and I'm I'm sad Andrew has either not watched it or maybe he saw that I have and decided to leave it open.
Haven't
for
watched
me.
It yet. It's on the book for this weekend.
So the name of this movie is Always Be My Maybe, which is better known to us as Asian Longshot.
Mm-hmm. I've heard there's a Keanu Reeves song in this movie.
Andrew, that was going to be the thing I ended on because that is the culmination of the fucking impressiveness of this movie.
No.
No. No. Stop. Let me start. No. Let me start with what I was going, how I was going to go. This movie's fine.
Oh, all
right. Right? This movie's all right.
It's a Netflix movie.
It's a Netflix all movie. Right, cool. But mm-hmm. It is a Netflix movie written by the star and the lead writer of
Fresh
Off the Boat, mm-hmm. directed by the person that directs almost every Fresh Off of the Boat episode. Mm-hmm. So
it's a Fresh Off the Boat episode.
It's a Fresh Off the Boat mm-hmm. episode.
With more money.
Yeah. Damian, uh-huh. you're into that movie.
Is it as good as Fresh Off the Boat?
It's a Netflix movie. Obviously, it's not as
then
good
then
as Fresh
Off the
Boat.
Then I don't want to see it, dog.
But Damian.
Hey, you know what's better Damian, than... What you're saying is, you know what's better than this movie? 3 episodes of Fresh Off the Boat. Is what I'm hearing.
Damian.
Am I correct?
No. So, Randall Park, in this movie, mm-hmm. I'm just going to... The thing that I love about this movie...
Mm-hmm. It's Fresh Off the Boat.
Is Randall Park.
Uh-huh.
He's a rapper? And...
Excuse me?
Yes.
Run that back?
He is a rapper. And raps many times in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the raps that he makes... sound like raps that Randall Park, the comedian, would make to make fun of rappers. And they're perfect.
I don't like where this is going.
And it culminates, you've seen the trailer, right?
Yes.
So you know Keanu Reeves is in this movie.
I am aware that Mr. Wick is in the movie.
It culminates in, and Andrew, thank you for letting us know, because that is the best part of this movie. The end of this movie, there is a song mm-hmm. entitled... I punched Keanu Reeves, where he describes punching Keanu Reeves.
Oh, so he's Keanu Reeves in the movie.
Yes, he is. He's Keanu
not,
Reeves.
He's
in the
playing
movie.
Himself.
He's playing himself.
All right.
He's playing a ridiculous version of himself. And by the way, amazing.
It seems.
Damian, just talking about this movie, I want to watch it again.
Douglas, here's the thing.
It's shitty. It's bad. It's not good. But it's the type of shitty movie. I'm telling you, Damian. And maybe I'm overselling it. So please don't go in with huge expectations. But Damian, you are going to enjoy the fuck
Douglas,
out of this movie.
You've said Fresh Off the Boat about 18 times. Right? There's Keanu Reeves raps.
And please... I've only spoken about Randall Park and Keanu Reeves.
Douglas.
This movie also has Ali fucking Wong.
Douglas, if this movie is bad, I'm going right? to stab you to death.
Damian, so this movie starts. This is how strong this movie is in terms of just shenanigans. This movie starts with children.
Mm-hmm.
Young Randall Park, who is a child. It's not actually in a Randall Park plane.
Oh.
No, I'm just saying, it's like 5-year-old, right?
Okay.
Young Randall Park runs over to young Ali Wong's house to invite her over for dinner. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, you want to come over? She fucking slams the door in his face.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Just that's as a joke.
Right. Yeah.
Because
they're terrible people.
They're terrible
fresh
people.
Fresh off the boat.
Yes. Damian,
but it's not as good as Fresh Off the Boat.
That's how this movie starts.
But you're saying it's not
Damian,
as good as Fresh Off
the Boat. Damian!
But it's on Netflix.
I know.
Always bad.
Watch this movie.
I love realize this movie the only so much. Good Netflix movie is the movie that you don't like. The movie that won everything.
No, that's not a good movie. That's for Andrew. That's like cinema. We don't deal with cinema.
And clearly Netflix bought that. Right? Netflix saw that. I went, I'll give you any money.
But guys,
this movie.
I cannot recommend this movie any stronger than
shit.
Or anymore. It's like, and as I said, please don't go in, because I feel like I might be doing this an injustice. Don't go in with an inflated expectation of whether it's goodness or even funniness, because it's just one of those things you watch and you're like, really? It just continues to build. I it's at the end of the day, it's a shitty rom-com movie, but I do enjoy the shit out of this movie.
So one of the things I've heard about this movie, and speaking specifically to the raps and the Keanu Reeves song, is that when they were working on this song, Randall Park and Ali Wong said to Keanu they're doing this, and Keanu started sending suggestions for disses.
I read that article as well and thought it was the greatest.
Keanu Reeves seemed cool as shit.
Keanu Reeves is like, wait, hold on. You're doing a song about me? I have to be a part of this. I have to be a part of this tomfoolery.
Yeah, and I want to watch this movie. This weekend I'll watch it.
Yeah, fair enough. But Andrew, Damian, Keanu Reeves is a very strong part of this movie. He plays the greatest version of John Wick. So good. But okay, let's move on. One last thing I want to talk about. And I have to say that I'm extremely surprised. I did not think... So, at first I was surprised that I watched a Netflix movie and liked it. Then I was bowled over when I watched an Amazon show that was not about space or about cars. And I fucking loved it. Yeah, Good Omens.
I hear that TV show is strong.
I kind of want to watch it because I love the actors.
Exactly. So I actually didn't have high expectations, and maybe that's why I like it so much. But Martin Sheen and David Tennant, I really do like those guys. So I say, you know what? And it's a Neil Gaiman book, right? Yeah. Even though, Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett. So I say, you know, let me see what this is. This show feels like a children's movie, which makes sense because of Neil Gaiman. He does like a lot of children's stuff. But don't have your children watch this because, oh boy. You know, there's some naughty words and there's some scenarios that maybe they shouldn't be watching. But this movie actually feels like a movie. It's only 6 episodes. It's pretty good. David Tennant and Martin Sheen playing off Michael Sheen playing off of each other.
Sheen.
There we go. Are great. It's their interplay is marvelous. There's actually a strong cast of children because it's around the children are kind of like the bad guys in a way. They're the key focus. They're what everybody's kind of looking for and afraid of and stuff. And it's pretty good. And the show does this thing where there are about 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 distinct groups of people that interact with each other, that each have their own story that all kind of come together at the end, and they know how to make the shenanigans happen, right? So I enjoy the shit out of this show. It's really good. I don't think I've ever said that before about an Amazon show. Yeah, I love Sneaky Pete, and I'm actually really upset because apparently I saw a news item to say that it's canceled now. But I don't think, I mean, as much as I like Sneaky Pete, and probably 3/4 of that is me liking Giovanni Ribisi, this show is like leaps and bounds ahead of that. And this is a children's show. So, yeah, it's great.
All right.
But that's it.
It's my time.
Your time.
All right. Let's get the goddamn bullshit out of the way first. You guys remember Breaking Bad?
Yes, I do.
So our friends at Netflix said, while we have Breaking Bad is awful. What if we do Breaking Bad, but they're all women? And they call it Good Girls.
Oh, that's not a Netflix show.
It isn't?
No.
Who should I blame for this?
I soon tell you. It's one of the shitty
channels. Who cares? It fucking sucks.
Does it? I've seen it on Netflix and thought about watching it. Is it not worth it?
Here's the thing. At the beginning, you're like, this seems bad.
Mm-hmm.
But Netflix has that way where it pulls you along.
Yeah. It's the umbrella effect.
It is a NBC TV show.
Right. All right. So NBC, eat dicks. when it starts, you get the feeling that it might be good. And then as it continues, you start to realize that it is definitely not good. But you continue watching because there's a couple of things that you see and you're like, I want more of that. And you think you're going to get more of it. Here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
They are not even hiding at this point. They're just making a carbon copy of Breaking Bad.
Really?
But it is worse.
I thought it was like Cops and Robbers or something like that.
There's a man
uh-huh.
who he has the cancer in there.
Okay.
Boy, that's a terrible shot. Anyway. come on! You know what? I'm not even going to go through this. Fucking don't watch Good Girls. I have other shit to get to. I don't have time for any of this bullshit.
You know, the funny thing is, the older I get,
mm-hmm.
the more TV I watch.
Yes.
Is the more distinct network television is. Mm-hmm. And when I say network television, specifically NBC, ABC, CBS, and to a certain degree Fox, but not so much, they have their own style. They're almost like the pantomime of television, right? They think they're acting, but it's not. They always have the ridiculous stories and the ridiculous situational things and the ridiculous facial expressions. And it just looks like network television, no matter how hard they try, because they try to do things like this where they're like, oh, but it's super serious. And then it isn't. It's still network television. There are very few. I mean, we all can talk about the exceptions, right? Because
there's always exceptions.
But boy,
I mean, Lost was perfect.
Now it is homework time.
Okay.
Is it my turn? Is it my time finally?
Yes. 4 years.
Yes.
Andrew has given me movies that I'm supposed to watch.
Okay.
That I write down and then. Don't watch.
Ooh.
Because I'm a dick. Anyways.
I thought you were about to give me homework, but I see what you're saying. You've done homework.
I've done my homework.
Okay.
House? I don't have sports. And without...
That's not fair. The under 21s are playing their World Cup. No,
that's not real football.
The internationals are playing their crickets.
Also, that's
Douglas, stop
not
it.
Football.
I need to hear this.
And also, I work too hard to stay up late enough to watch tennis live.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm shit out a lot there.
Yep.
But I have a list here. On this list is 5 movies that Andras told me to watch. On
oh
several
my God.
Occasions.
I'm so and I, have I don't even it. Know which ones are coming.
All of this shit. I'll start with the oldest recommendation and the last recommendation, obviously, is House.
Mm-hmm.
I will end with House. First on the list, Giulietta. That movie is fucking awesome.
I love that movie. Oh, that's so good.
Is
yeah.
tremendous.
I'm one of our.
And had I watched this movie in 2016 or so when mm-hmm. Andrew...
When I told you.
Mm-hmm.
That probably made the top 10.
Uh-huh.
That movie is spectacular.
It's pretty good.
But if you want to know how good the movie is, go back 100 episodes ago and listen to Andrew talk about it. Just so you know, it's spectacular.
Yeah.
Next is Patterson.
Patterson.
He also told me to watch that. I think you also told me to watch
it. I like it. I don't know if you would like it.
I don't think I've seen Patterson.
I don't think you'd like it.
All right. Well, then, even though I had it under Andrew, clearly this was Douglas. Hey, Douglas, go fuck yourself.
No, it's not your type of movie. I'm sure I would not have actually said, Damien, go watch it.
Hey, Douglas. Well, it was on the list. And what I'll have to say to
you. That's the movie about the poet with...
yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I have not seen that movie, so yeah. Can't blame me.
I love that movie, but
yeah,
it's fine. Listen, he has another movie coming out with the same guy and zombies. We're going to watch it. Yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Jarmusch for the win.
10 minutes in, I was just like,
yeah, no, it's not your kind of
Jesus Christ.
Oh, I can't wait for that zombie
it
movie.
It felt like punishment. Like I sat there, I went,
Who's doing this? Who saw this and said, all right, let's give them more money?
So, okay, 1 second.
Yes.
I just want everyone to keep count. I'm 1-for-1. And yes. Douglas is 0-for-1.
0-for-1.
I did not recommend a movie. Douglas is, he just watched a movie I like.
It's on the list for a reason. Someone told me to watch it, and I've been keeping a list.
Have you checked it twice? You did not check it twice, did you?
It's here.
Ha!
I'm checking it.
Did you mark Douglas as chicken shit?
Should. Let me put comma chicken shit. Chicken. All right. Bang. All right. Next is a movie that was damn near impossible to find. It is called White Son.
What movie is this?
Andrew told me to watch this a long time ago.
I don't think that's actually gotten released anywhere yet.
Right. When I say it is hard to find, I mean impossible to find. So while it is on the list, I could not watch this movie because I don't know where it is.
Yeah.
But as you can see, it is here on the list. I have no idea where Andrew saw that movie.
Oh, wait. So this list isn't a list of movies you watched?
No. So this is a list of movies you guys have told me to watch. I put all of it on one big list.
Only 5 movies?
No, it's 5 that I've gotten to. This is not one of the 5. I just wanted to ask Andrew where the hell he saw this movie. Okay.
I saw this movie at TIFF, at the film festival, and I don't think it got any sort of physical release.
Okay. Oh, boy. Who's the director? Maybe Damon can email them.
Fair enough. At it's... White Son Director. Question, what the fuck? this movie I actually did see. It was also not easy to find. It is called The Net. It's a Korean movie.
The Net? Yeah. You mean Sandra Bullock?
I meant to punch you in the face soon. Very, very soon.
She had a very fat laptop in that movie.
Oh, God. I hate you so very much.
I think, was it? No, it wasn't Dennis Lehr. It was Dennis... Miller was in that movie.
Oh my God.
Back when he, you know, was a thing.
Yes. The Net in 19. 19. Yes, I've seen The Net.
That's what that movie.
Fucking idiot. Oh my God.
Saw it when it came out on HBO, Saturday night premiere.
Mm-hmm. Boy, we've lived for too long. It's not okay that I remember that. Oh, God, we're old. Right, so back to what I was talking about before, Douglas and his arms out. I assume you've not seen this Korean movie.
I don't think so, but maybe if you describe it, I'll have seen it. I don't know.
You know how we like Korean movies? Where people murder people.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew doesn't like
Oh, boy. Okay.
The Net isn't one. The Net isn't for us.
Uh-huh.
Andrew's 1-for-1. Not 1-for-1.
No, he's 1-for-2, you mean. Or 1-for-3.
No, you're right. He's 1-and-1. He's 1-and-1. Andrew, I didn't go back.
Oh,
and
isn't that the one with North and South Korea?
Yep, and that's what it is.
It's Kim Ki-duk. I have seen that because I saw it with you, Andrew. Yeah.
Did you like it?
At the time, absolutely not.
Okay.
I mean, it was hard because it was Kim Ki-duk.
Mm-hmm.
But oh boy.
Right. So, Andrew. So, now that you know what the movie is.
Yeah, yeah.
Andrew, because I didn't go back and check. Can you remind me what about this movie is good?
It's been a while.
If you can cast your mind back.
The international intrigue.
I remember just being this guy's crazy journey. It was a mixture of him being like all of the crazy prison shit, and then the question of where do your allegiances go, like all the same sort of things I feel you talked about with us when it comes to like the shadow people versus the above ground people shit. But it's been a long time since I saw this movie, so you know, I watched it again. I should look and see if I can watch it.
Probably can. I mean, Kim Ki-duk is... he's not that big, but he's big enough to get releases. Actually, speaking of which, has he come out with a movie recently? Because I should watch whatever he makes.
But why didn't it work for you, Damien? What was?
Because it's bad.
I mean, other than people not murdering each other.
Remember the part where it's bad?
I'm boring.
Asshole. God damn it.
And then
I've
it's boring.
I've been saying his name wrong.
And it's boring and it's bad.
Or am I? I don't even know.
And I don't know. I don't know if it's just because it's in a foreign language. But everything about that movie felt off. Like, I don't normally critique foreign language acting because, you know, I'm not as familiar with, you know, what good acting is supposed to look like when you're speaking another language, right?
So Kim Kiduk has made another movie in 2018
mm-hmm.
called Human, Space, Time, and Human.
Okay.
Which, I'm not even going to expand the synopsis. Let's just read what is here
mm-hmm.
before the ellipsis, right? People from all sorts of backgrounds set sail on a warship. We're already kind of in weird territory. They get drunk on alcohol,
mm-hmm.
drugs, and sex. Later, everybody grows tired and falls. Like, this sounds like just ridiculousness. It sounds like a very bad movie, but I will be watching it.
Absolutely not.
And he apparently has another thing coming out called this year, which is called Izzy Got the Frizzies.
I'm sorry, what? Andrew, can you tell Douglas to stop making up things, please?
I'm looking at the same page he's looking
at.
Oh my god.
Oh boy.
Oh lord.
But I'm looking at his IMDb thing, and I think we're saying his name wrong. I think it's Kiduk Kim. Like Park Chan Wook.
Or is so it? It's a weird thing. It's a weird thing because these cultures
see, the
is that
is
the names go like roundabout, and then they will say this way in one country and that way in another country, and I never really know what's right or wrong.
So what it is, right, with those guys, you say it, or how I believe it is said, is that they start with their family name and they end with their given name, right? We are, us Western people, we do it the other way. And we say family name followed by, given name followed by family name. But what we Westerners as assholes do is when somebody says to you, my name is this, they'll be like, oh, what you mean is, and then they put the family name first, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why even if you see like some people refer to like a Park Chan-wook, they'll say Chan-wook Park. Or, you know, and so that's why I realized that IMDb says Kiduk Kim, and I'm wondering now which one is right.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure.
It's always confusing to me, so I just kind of pick one, and until someone with more knowledge than me corrects me in how his specific name is ordered,
yeah,
I'm going to keep with Kim Kiduk.
All right, fair enough.
All right, second to last. I'm looking at this. I'm pretty sure this was an Andrew pick. Who told me to watch Dragged Across Concrete?
Oh boy.
That's Douglas. No, I haven't watched it yet.
That was me. Uh-oh.
I need to shake your hand.
Yes! Yes, I win!
Yo, that's so dumb.
It's so good.
Oh my god.
It's so good.
Oh, like, when I was watching it, I was like, Andrew wouldn't pick this.
No, he would not.
I actually really want to watch it. I just
speaking of
yet.
Which.
Yo, that movie's full of shit.
The movie feels like someone said, what's the dumbest thing we have all these people. What is the absolute dumbest movie we can make with all these people? And they did it.
Is there not a Blu-ray of this?
So,
I can't get this physical, Damien.
So far, Andrew is one good, one bad, and one NF. Not phone.
I don't know if we find that movie.
NF means Netflix.
No, that would be bad. I'd have one good, one Netflix, and then one Image not found. Douglas is also one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the problem. I saved the best for last. The reason I was rushing to get through all that other thing is because none of it compares to fucking House.
I promised you something special.
Yo, dog. Douglas?
Yeah?
Douglas, unlike Suspiria, which is just lunacy all the time, with like it gives you something to hang on to, but it keeps getting weirder and weirder and weirder. Like there's a progression. And so at some point you're just like, I don't even know what I'm watching. I just know that I'm aroused. With House. Douglas, here's how buck wild this movie is. If you were to take each individual scene and hit shuffle, it would be the same movie. That is how good this movie is. Like, Andrew promised me things. I watched the trailer. Andrew didn't say anything about Kung Fu, which is also in this movie.
I remember saying something about Kung Fu, but okay.
Douglas, this movie is...
Like, you know how we enjoyed Plastic Bag Jellyfish because yes. It was so random?
Mm-hmm.
We were wrong.
Okay. I'm here to tell you. I've watched House 2 times since Saturday. Between Saturday and today, I've watched that movie twice. I don't know. I don't know how to start telling you what this show... Douglas, I've never done cocaine. This is the closest thing. Because it feels... While watching it, you feel like your brain isn't functioning correctly, but you're so happy that something is wrong. You know something is wrong. You just don't know why anything is wrong. And then the second time you watch it, you're just like, I'm going to watch this again to find out what it is that I missed the first time that I can see the second time. But as it turns out, repeat viewings doesn't help. At all.
So is it sad that right now I'm not sure if you're saying you like this movie? Douglas, you don't like this movie.
This is a masterpiece.
It is some of the weirdest shit.
This movie is the I Saw the Devil for weird fucking movies. It is something that shouldn't exist, that doesn't make sense, that I cannot believe A, exists, and B, that it took me this long to watch this movie. This movie is like Pantheon level good. Like, this movie is spectacular.
Wow.
The problem with movies like this, though, and it is probably why everyone is hesitant to recommend this type of movie. The problem with it is that it is so buck wild that if you find someone that likes this movie, you and that person, if you like it and you find one more person that likes it, you and that person are friends forever. Like, there's no... That is literally all the information you need. Because this movie is crazy. Like, I can tell you, like, watching the trailer gives you an idea, but it doesn't really give you the full picture. Because the movie isn't fast-paced and it is not rushing through. It just goes. Mm-hmm.
Damien,
and the host,
that man in his car at the end of the movie, what happens to him at the end?
Oh my god.
I think the thing I like to talk about to kind of clue people into the ridiculousness of this movie is that scene with the man falling down the stairs into the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It looks almost like he's dragging himself down the stairs as they're filming him falling. Because he can't do a stunt fall, I'm assuming. Right? No. And then when he lands into a bucket, so his ass is in the bucket, kind of like an old comedy skit.
Yep.
And then the bucket starts rolling across the street with him in the bucket. But it's obviously done in like a stop motion way.
Right.
So like they're just moving him in the bucket around. And it is, it's ridiculous.
Douglas, there's, like, because there's no CG, right? Everything is, like, everything is handcrafted, but everything isn't of the same quality. Like, there's things that are clearly, there's things that had time and effort, and then there's things that didn't.
Yeah.
And, but when you watch it, because the movie is so weird, you're not sure if it was done. You're not sure if anything that you see was an accident. Because it is all, like, there's an argument to be made that this is one of the worst movies of all time. And I would hear that argument.
That's glowing praise coming from you.
And I can see that argument. Right? Like, this movie, like, I can see someone reacting to this movie how I reacted to The Butcher Boy. Just coming out of it going, I'm going to fucking kill whoever gave me this movie. Mm-hmm. Because this is the dumb, I don't even know what this is. Mm-hmm. None of it makes sense. It is not coherent. It is, like, what is this girl? What is this house? Is the house a cat? Is the cat a house? What is happening? It doesn't matter. None of this is important. When you watch a movie, you're just like, yeah, this is, I can't see someone being in the middle. You either watch this movie and go, this is why I hate movie buffs. Or you watch this movie and you're like, this might be one of the greatest movies I've ever seen in my life. I can't say an in-between. And I'm so glad that I'm on this. Like, watching both Suspiria movies and this movie in one calendar year feels wrong. Because for most of my life, these movies didn't exist. Right? I didn't know things like this. Like, people made them. I made enough of them that they are, like, a thing. Because there's apparently more of these movies that I'm going to hunt down and watch as much as this
more
wild
shit. More of
these
movies, like, it's a genre? Or more of these movies, like, sequels to
No,
House?
More of these movies, like, it's a genre.
Oh, okay.
Movies that are just Japanese and Italian strange men making like the most strange movies.
Speaking of strange Italian movies, I don't even know if this is Italian. It probably isn't, so I don't know why Italian brought it to mind. But did you guys see that the person that directed Duke of Burgundy has a new movie coming out?
No, I do not.
Have you watched that trailer?
What's it called?
I can't remember. I just remember thinking, holy shit, and that.
Is that the,
right?
Is that the, I have it's the name in my thing. Mind. It's the Goldfinch or something?
Is it the Goldfinch? No. Oh, no, it's not. It's
Fabric.
In Fabric. Yeah.
In Fabric. And it's like which I mentioned in the group. I like posted the trail of the killer dress.
Yeah, I don't. Come on, Andrew. You know I don't read those.
I did like that trailer.
Yeah,
trailer. It seems. Mm-hmm. That seems like it might be our next Holy Motors.
And the funny thing about it is, I don't think I like Duke of Burgundy. I tried watching Duke of Burgundy. I might try again. I didn't finish, but there were I did leave that movie with some positives. And the type of positives that would lead me to believe that if that person wanted to make a movie about a killer fucking dress, that they
that
would do a good job.
what post reinforced for me is that when I saw Holy Motors, I didn't realize that was a watered down version of Lunacy. When I saw Holy Motors, that was like peak madness. Like, it wasn't plastic bag jellyfish, but it was weird enough and incoherent enough. You're just like, I think I like this movie. And didn't realize that there are movies that make Holy Motors seem straightforward and sensible. And if my worry with watching these movies and liking these movies as much as I like them, is that I fear that this is a dark hole that I'm going to fall into where I can no longer appreciate regular movies, because it seems like that is where this ends.
this ends with me looking down my nose at standard movies. Just like, oh, you people don't understand what a movie can be. like a monster.
It must reach for the gods.
But let me... There's one point where I was watching this movie on Sunday.
We're still talking about House.
Still talking about it. Okay. I was watching House on Sunday for the second time. And I think I told Douglas a story today about my friend who came. But he was there and he was just walking through the living room and he saw what was on the screen. And he's just like, is that a YouTube video? And I said, no, it's a movie. I was like, who makes a movie out of clips? And I went, oh, because he was like at the tail end of one and the beginning of another scene. But they look nothing like, there being no resemblance to each other. And I'm like, no, man, this is just a movie. And he's like, all right, let me sit here. And middle of the movie, sat down. 10 minutes later, it's just like, all right, I know you're into some weird shit, but I don't know what this is. And I go, you know what the best part about this is? I don't know what this is. I have no idea. I know I love it, though. I know I love this movie. And it's been a long time since I saw something and immediately went onto the internet to try and find the best. I was just like, Amazon, please send me a Blu-ray of this movie. I usually wait. I usually don't do what you lunatics do and just buy expensive Blu-rays for no reason. But they got my $17. And I can't wait to get that movie home. I'm going to, I think I might frame the box. When people come to my house, I want them to know. I want them to look at that and go, "Where's your orange puss?" In a blue, like, what is that movie?
It's a house. That's a cat. That's right. A house.
And I'll say to you, watch this movie. And if 15 minutes pass and they don't tell me, I'm never speaking to you again. I'm going to marry the first girl that I bring to the house and she watch 15 minutes of that movie and don't ask immediately to leave. I'm going to marry that girl. That's a test. Because Douglas, you should watch House.
Yeah. Like
Andrew's been saying it to me this entire time.
I've been kind of harping on it for a while.
I've known about it for a long time. And Andrew, it's a type of movie I should watch. I agree.
Damon, you know what made me watching House better? Seeing it in a packed theater at midnight on a Saturday night.
That would have been awesome.
Like I've been going to like some of these smaller screenings of like older movies, and when I show up, it's like me and five other people, and then I go to House, and like the room packs up. I'm like, oh my goodness, what's about to happen?
Yeah, yes. That is fun when people who have already seen it are down.
Right,
it's
love
it. I'm pretty sure that's the reason why I love Rocky Horror Picture Show, because that's how I watched it the first time, even though it was a shitty college room with college people in there, but it's still, you know, because I watch a movie now and I'm like, I love it, but would I, you know, if I didn't watch it that way the first time?
There's a couple movies that I think I love that are in that category.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I watch this, but I watch this at a time when I was an idiot and was watching it with only idiots.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love this movie. One of those movies for me was Broken Arrow.
Oh,
but
no.
I've watched that as an adult.
No,
and that movie is
Damon,
real.
I never. And I mean, I should, right? Because it was around the same time as Face Off and all of these other things that you love. But I just never.
Well,
was
congratulations.
Down with that one.
You didn't have to rewatch it and go, I think this might be one of the worst movies ever. This movie is garbage.
I got Julieta and I got House.
You got Julieta and you got House.
But I got Dragged Across Concrete.
Yeah, Dragged Across
Concrete. Because Andrew.
Real good.
The coffee comes from the foothills of the Blue Mountains.
But
I died when I heard him say that. Andrew, you need to. Well, you shouldn't watch this movie.
I'm going to watch it, if nothing else, because it's a guy who made fucking Bone Tomahawk. How am I not going to watch that movie?
But did you watch Block 99 or whatever?
I haven't watched that yet.
That came out like 2 years ago.
I'm going to watch both
you're
of
late
them.
On this. Come on, let's do this.
Go watch House, Douglas. Go watch House. Fine. I've gotten one on my side.
God, it's so good.
No, Andrew. I am a de facto fan of The House. I mean, everything I've heard about it, not just from you, but just generally from the internet, I'm going to like this movie.
I mean, you don't know, Damien, you don't know how much I had to keep inside not to spoil every piece of this movie to you.
Yeah, as you can tell by my review, because Douglas hasn't seen it yet. Yeah. I've been keeping it real vague. Because Douglas, even if I tried describing it to you, you just think I'm on drugs. Like that thing that Andrew described about the stairs is tame.
Okay.
Like the trailer doesn't even prepare you. Like I saw the trailer, I went, all right, I think I am ready. I wasn't ready.
I actually checked it out and I saw this in February this year. So it means it's been 4 months of me harassing you, Damien, to watch this movie.
And thank you. Thank you so very much.
Oh, God, it's so good. It's so good. Made me so happy. Oh, almost made up on there not being any more sports. Almost.
I'm like, you can't find 2 hours to see the best movie ever made.
No, oh boy.
What? I found it this time though. The only thing that put a real damper on this weekend was watching Good Girls.
God.
Like, because it's on Netflix and it just keeps going, like, I was a season and a half in and just went, no. I don't care what happens. I cannot. I'll just watch Breaking Bad again. Since this is what this is. I can't. She goes with me to a blossom room.